Tonight's Shir is on this week's Parsha, Parshas Metzora, and the title, and also about Pesach, and the title of the Shir tonight is Purification of the Metzora and Pesach. So tonight we're going to look at the beginning of this week's Parsha, and there's an aspect of this week's Parsha, the beginning, that also relates to an idea in Pesach. So I wanted to share that information tonight in the Shir. So if we start with source number one, the beginning of our parsha this week, the beginning of Metzora, it says as follows: Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. So Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, "Zos tia Torah haMetzora b'yom taraso v'uval haKohen." So these are the laws of the Metzora, the person who got taras on the day of his purification, as reported to the Kohen. V'yatzah Kohen, when reported to the Kohen, v'yatzah Kohen al michutz haMachaneh v'ra'ah haKohen minein yirpan nega taras min Metzora. So when the Kohen finds out that this Metzora, the person who has Taras, is ready to be purified and has healed from his Taras, the Kohen goes outside the camps and he checks to see and to make sure that the Taras, this leprosy, has gone away. And we're in Pasuk Dalet. It says, V'tzivah Kohen, V'lakach lamita her shtei tziporim chayos teros ve'etz arez v'shnisolas ve'ezov. So the Kohen orders the person with Taras who's trying to become Tahor to take two live birds that are tahor, that are a kosher, and also cedar wood, a little bit of a wool that's dyed red, I think that's the color, crimson, the azov, and also hyssop, which is an herb. And in hay it says, v'tzivah okein v'shachadas ha-tzipor ha-chas el-kli charas al-mayim chayim. So you take one of the two birds, and you slaughter it on top of an earthenware vessel with water, and the blood drips into it. And then in Vav it says, "Et ha'tzipor ha'chaya yikachu sa ves etz ha'erez ve'ashniyat olas ves ha'izov v'tavalu sam ve'es ha'tzipor ha'chaya b'dam ha'tzipor shechuta al ha'mayim ha'chayim." So you take all these elements of the purification process, which are the cedar wood, the crimson wool piece or wool strand of wool, and also the hyssop, which is an herb, and you take that with the bird that's alive, and you drench the bird that's alive, or you dip it into the blood of the bird that was killed. And then you take that blood, the Kohen takes the blood, he sprinkles it on the Metzora seven times, and he becomes pure, he becomes Tahor, and after that, the bird is sent away into the field. So the Torah, in the beginning of this week's Parsha, discusses the method of tahora, of tahara, of the Metzora. And tonight I wanted to look at the elements that are brought into the method. And those elements, if you look in Pasuk Dalet, it says, V'tzivah kohen v'lakach lamitaher shtei tziporim chayos tehoros ve'etz erez ushnisolas ve'ezov. So that the components of this tahara process are the two birds, the cedar wood, this piece of, or this string of crimson, wool, the azov, and the hyssop. So the question is, what is the purpose of these elements of the tahara process? Are they trying to teach us something, or are they really symbolic? So what's the idea of these elements? What are these? How do we understand them? And we'll see how this relates to Pesach, hopefully. So if we look in Rashi, Rashi comes out and he says as follows. It's the Rashi's on Pasuk Dalet. It says, Chayos pratlet refos. So the birds that the Metzora has to use, they have to be birds that don't have a fatal disease. Then that's the idea of chayos. They can't be treif. They can't have a disease that would be terminal. Tahoros prad l'ov tame. They also have to be kosher. L'fish ha'negayim ba'in al-lashon hara shumaisa pitpute devarim. So why are birds used? Because taras is a punishment for speaking lashon hara. And the idea of a bird is that a bird chatters, just like chattering causes a person to speak lashon hara and therefore be afflicted with taras. It says, "Lefichach huskaku l'taharaso tziporim shepapatpin shemefatpin tamid betziftzav kol." So birds typically you hear them singing to each other, and there's a comparison between the way that birds communicate and chattering. And chattering is the cause of lashon hara. And therefore, the purification of the taras includes the birds. And then it says, "V'etz erez," the cedar wood, "l'fisha negun ba'in al gasus haruach." So etz erez, the cedar, is a very tall tree. So that's trying to indicate that really the reason or the ultimate purpose or reason for the punishment of tzaras comes because a person feels haughty and is high like a tall tree. So it's gasas haruach, it's ego. So the idea is ushni tolas ve'izov. The next Rashi says mata kanaso. How do you fix that? Ve'isrape and become healed. Yashbil atzmo migavaso kitolas ve'izov. So you're supposed to lessen or lower yourself from your ego, like a worm. Tolas is a worm, which is a play on the words in the pasuk, and ke'ezov, the hyssop. So the herb, the hyssop herb, is a very small, low to the ground type of herb. So it's trying to indicate that the way that a person heals himself and does tshuva for doing lashon hara, which is caused by ego, is in order to lower it. You have to lower yourself to like you're a worm or like you're the hyssop, which is a small and low to the ground. So eitz erez, maklo shel erez, shni tolas, lashon shel tsemer, tevua zahoris. So it's wool, a piece of wool, a strip of wool that's dyed crimson. So Rashi explains that the components of the purification of the mitzorah are really, they're not just symbolic, and they're not just elements or items that have no function, but really they're supposed to teach the mitzorah an aspect of the tshuva process, which is that the mitzorah is supposed to recognize that the cause, the underlying source for the mitzorah's sin was really his gaiva, his ego, and that's the idea of eitz erez. And the way to solve that, or the way to do tshuva, is through the ezov and tolas, which is a concept in lowering yourself and in taking away your ego and breaking it down. So Rashi explains that the components of the purification are really elements of the tshuva process of the mitzorah. And Rabbeinu Bachya highlights this, and look in source number 3. He says, "Ve'etz erez ushni tolas ve'ezov." So the Torah picked the tallest and the shortest of all those that grow out of the ground. So Shlomo also mentions this in Malachim. So from the Erez that's in the Levanon, in the north, and the Ezov, which comes out of the wall. So Ezov is very small. So how does a person heal themselves from the avera of being egocentric? So you have to lower yourself like Ezov. So the idea of the Ezov, the hyssop herb, is an idea, is a concept that to teach man in the process of the mitzvah purifying himself, to teach man how to remove the avera, the fatal flaw that caused this sin in the first place. And the Gur Aryeh in source number 4 adds another element to this. And then after we do this, we'll go off into the other areas that it ties into. But the Gur Aryeh has a very fascinating idea also. He says in source number 4, Kitolas Ucha Ezov, when he's going on Rashi, he's explaining Rashi, V'im tomar, so if you want to say, Lama maskir shnei devarim ke'ezov u'shnei atolas, why does the Torah mention both things, ezov and shnei tolas, yaskir hashafel yoser? The Torah should just mention the smallest thing, whether it's the ezov or the shnei atolas, just mention one. Why do you need both? So he says, V'yesh l'taritz, devada mitchila yesh l'hashbil atzmo ketolas, shu shafel me'od. So how does the person do tshuva? You're supposed to, from ego, you're supposed to lower yourself to the lowest possible point, like a worm, which is very low to the ground. She's rachik min avera, and you're supposed to distance yourself from avera as far as possible. Shahiyad mitchila chote begaiva, because the original sin of tzaras is caused by ego. V'im lo yifrosh l'tzad acher lechos b'midas hashiflos me'od mod lo yitze midei cheto. If you don't go to the opposite extreme of being very, very low, and having no self-esteem, breaking down your ego completely, then your chet will reemerge in a different place. Ki yachzor lidei gava shelo, because eventually you'll return to your ego. L'chach yiyah mitzchila ketolas. That's why the Torah has both components. First, in doing tshuva, you're supposed to lower yourself to the opposite extreme. Ad shi yisrachik min avera v'lo yiyah libo gasalav. Till you get so far from the avera that you have no desire for it. And then you should moderate. You don't have to be as low as a worm. So the Gur Aryeh is explaining Rashi, and he's saying that there's a method, there's a process to tshuva. And the process is that when you're trying to battle the ego, you have to go to the opposite extreme, and you have to be really lowly. But once you take on the ego,
by going to the opposite extreme, then you moderate a little bit. And Azov is still low to the ground. It's still anivus, but it's not to the level of Tolas, not like a worm. And it says, Lefichach makdim hakasuv, back in the Gor Aryeh, Lefichach makdim hakasuv shniyat Tolas or achach Azov. That's why there's this order of shniyat Tolas and then Azov. Ki hashvelus yosem yidai ein ra'oi, ki kol mida tova ba'olam yeshlo metzua, ushneak tzos ein antovos. So every mida has extremes, and you don't want to be in an extreme, even though the Rambam says that the extreme of ego is really a good. But the Gur Aryeh explains that you don't want to be too lowly, you don't want to have no self-esteem, so therefore you moderate a little bit and you go to the Azov. And so he explains very beautifully this process. So it's not just that the Torah is indicating how to do tshuva, or what to do tshuva with, but it's also indicating the process and the method of doing tshuva. And he says, Valderech zeh pirsha Rambam zal bakdamas maseches avos, ki misha chata begaiva, kish yitakein drachav tzarech lachos bekatzel lahashbel atmel yosem yidai. That when a person is egocentric, they have to really take themselves to the opposite extreme, ach husar mimenu hamida hameguna, to remove this disgusting feature, v'achar kach yamod ba'anava. And then afterwards, you moderate a little bit, and you move to a more humble position. V'hu gam kein shiflus, this is also lowly, ela she'en kol kach, it's not as much, kach yesh lefarish. Omnam b'psiksa, shemisham drash ezos, lo hiskeru shniyat tolas, rak eit ezo, v'unachan b'vaday, v'ein lehosev al-divrei chachamim. So in the end, the Gur Aryeh takes it back, and he says, in the drasha, it only mentions Azov. It doesn't mention Shniyat Tolas. But really, his idea is a really beautiful idea, because he's saying that based on Rashi and based on the Torah's presentation of the Tahara process, it's teaching us that when a person's a Mitzorah, they have to recognize the source of the flaw, which is the ego, the Gaiva, and that's the Eitz Erez. And then how to do tshuva. And the method of doing tshuva is Shniyat Tolas v'Azov. That you're supposed to go to the opposite extreme, be like a worm, which is very lowly, and then afterwards you moderate to being an azov, like a hyssop, which is low to the ground, but it's anivus, it's not as low as being a tolas. So that's the first idea in the share. The first idea in the share is just a basic philosophical point in this parsha, which is that the method of purification of the mitzvah is also to indicate how to do tshuva for the flaw itself. So it's not just symbolic, but it's really trying to internalize in the mitzorah the method of tshuva and what the flaw was initially. So we see this idea of Azov and Shniyat Tolas in other points, and especially the Azov. And there's another area that we see it in, and that area is by the Parah Adumah. There's three areas in Torah, and we'll see all three, but the first area is mitzorah, like I just mentioned. And then the second that I'm going to talk about is by the Parah Adumah. And we mentioned this in Parshas Parah. So in source number 5, Bamidbar, Perek Yotes, in trying to create the ashes of the Parah Adumah, which was used to do Tahara for a person who was Tamei Meis. So how do they do it? Look in source number 5. It's Yotes Dalet, V'lakach Elazar HaKohen Midamah Be'etzba'o V'izal Nuchach Pnei Ol Moed Midamah Sheva Pe'amim. So Elazar takes the dam, the blood of the Parah Adumah, the red heifer, and he sprinkles it towards the oil moed, and then he says visaraf es hapara le'inav esurav es bisarav es tamah ha'pershal yisrof, and then afterwards they would burn the Parah Adumah, and v'lakach the kohen would burn it completely, even with the dung inside of it, the pirsha, v'lakach ha'kohen eitz erez ve'izov v'shnis olas v'shlich ha'toch shreifas hapara, and then the kohen takes this eitz erez, which is the cedar wood again, the ezov, the hyssop, and the shnis olas. And then you throw it into the fire, and it burns up, and it becomes part of the ash system of Parah Adumah. So we see the same components that are used in the method of being Mitzahir, the Mitzorah, in all types of, to be Mitzahir, a person who's Tamei Meis, we see the same idea or the same component. And that's the Azov, the Erez, the Azov, and the Shnit Olas. So the question is, what does that have to do with this process of Parah Adumah? Because the idea of Parah Adumah is not necessarily for a person who is Chotei, like the Tzaras, but it's for a person who encountered a mace. So if a person encountered a mace and they have to become Tahor in order to work in the Mikdash, for example, or go to the Mikdash, so you need the ashes of the Parah Adumah to become Tahor. But the question is, what is the role of the Azov and the Shniyat Tolas and the Erez in this process? Because it makes sense by the Mitzorah, where there was a flaw, but by Parah Adumah, how does it make sense? So the Medrash in source number 6 kind of mentions the same idea as before, but it doesn't really explain it in my mind, and we'll try to explain it better later on in this year. But if you look in source number 6, it says, V'lakach ha-kohen eitz eres ve'ezov v'shin tolas, k'moshe naflu al yidea egel shloshes alafim, just like 3,000 people died by the egel azov, kach yiplu ba'shlosha minim. So too, there are three elements that are destroyed in this process. V'heim eitz erez, l'fisha yu meshulim ke'erez, k'mo sh'ne'amar, as it says, ha'erez ba'alvanon yishke. So the Jews are compared to the cedars. So one idea is that when we throw the cedar wood in the fire, it's to indicate the destruction of the Jews by the egel. V'al sheik bi'atmo ke'erez, and also because the Jews were haughty, like the cedar. And then it says, yu nechna'im v'nitkam ke'ezov. So they should be lowly like the Azov. Vilama Bishani, Kenege Kechura Shani Sifsosecha. So another reference to the Jews that they're referred to as Churashani. Vilama Bitolas, and why the Tolas? The Chaper al Am Shenikru Tolas. To be Mechaper on the nation that's called Tolas. Shenemar al Tiri Tolas Yaakov. So the Medrash points out this idea of Gava, of Gaiva, and also becoming lowly. Because it mentions in the Medrash, Al sheik bia atmo ke'erez, yu nichnaim v'nitkam ke'ezov. So as a result, the process of removing erez is by being like an ezov, by being lowly. But what does that have to do with the purification, the tahara, of a person who's tamei meis? It's not really clear. And the Medrash ties it into the egel, but what is the reference, or what is the relevance of the paraduma to the egel? How does it compare or connect? So the next part, this is the last part of the Medrash, davar acher, lama be'erez ve'ezov, melamed shekol, Hamisga atmo ke'erez, sofo nishbal ke'ezov, v'yichashev ke'tolash, nemar v'anochi tolash v'lo ish. Anybody who's haughty and thinks of themselves like the erez will ultimately become low like the ezov. So again, this medrash is pointing out the idea that erez is used in reference to be magbia, to heighten yourself, and ezov, the idea of the herb of the hyssop, is used to indicate a lowly status. But the question is, that we have to explain or understand is, how does it work within Paraduma? As I said before, it makes sense within Mitzora, that Mitzora is an idea in Shuva, that a person spoke Lashon Hara, and they have to recognize that the ego is the source of the Lashon Hara, and how to fix it through lowering yourself. But by Paraduma, yes, there is a vague reference to the Egel, but the process of Paraduma is to make a person who became Tamei Meis, who encountered a dead body, Tahor. So what does that have to do with the idea of being magbia and a person feeling high and then low? What do those elements have to do with the process of paraduma and the purpose of paraduma? So that's a question that we're going to hold off on answering, but we're gonna take up at the end of this year. And one more point here, and then we'll get to the Pesach reference. So the Ibn Ezra in source number 7, on Parshas Chukas, he says, Eitz erez kemo l'mitzora v'sham ramazdi sod. So the Ibn Ezra says that the Eitz Erez and is similar to the situation by Mitzora, and there I mentioned a sod, a secret, and some type of deep idea. And if you go over there by Mitzora, by our Parsha, in source number 8 in the Ibn Ezra, he says, V'Eitz Erez V'Ezov Hu Agadol V'Katan B'Minei Etzmachem. So again, he references this idea that the Erez is the highest and the Ezov is the lowest in things that sprout. The Ha'ed Midivrei Chachma Shlomo. So Shlomo testifies to this fact, and we mentioned that pasuk. Ve'ein tzorach lechapes ala ezov ki yadua bekabbalah. You don't have to find the ezov; it's known what it is, what the ezov is in Kabbalah. And we have this Kabbalah, what it is. Ve'inam etzora v'habayis hamenuga v'tumas hameis krovim. So he says that the mitzora, the case of mitzora, and the house that becomes afflicted with tzaras, and tumas hameis, becoming tamei through encountering a dead body, are similar. V'inei gam heim kidmus Pesach Mitzrayim. And they are all in the image or similar to Pesach Mitzrayim. So now the Ibn Ezra, he ties in three situations of Ezov. And the first situation is Mitzora. The second is by tumas meis, that when a person becomes tamei meis, they need the paraduma. And the paraduma was made with Tolas, Ezov, Shni Tolas, Ezov, and Erez. And the last reference is to Pesach. So the question is, what is the reference to Pesach? Why does the Ibn Ezra say it's Kidmus Pesach Mitzrayim? So there is one reference to Pesach Mitzrayim in these components. And source number 9, it was also read in No, I think, yeah, it was read by Parshas Chodesh. Source number 9, Shmos Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chaf Beis. It says, by the Jews in Mitzrayim, Bakas Pechoros, L'kachtem agudas ezov, utfaltem badam asher basaf, yigatem el mashkov, felshtem zuzos min adam asher basaf, ve'atem lo seitzu ish mi pesach beiso ad boker. So Moshe tells the Jews, based on Hashem's commandment, that they should take an agudas ezov, a bundle of hyssop, and they should take the dam from the korban Pesach, and they should spread it over their doorposts, as we all know from the story. And the Jews were not allowed to leave their homes at night, that night, the whole night. The avar Hashem lin gofes Mitzrayim baras adam al mashkov al shtem mezuzos upasach ad Hashem al pesach leitena mashchis levo batichem lin gof. And as a result of doing this, Hashem would pass over their houses, because he'd see the dam, this blood, and he wouldn't allow the mashchis, the destroyer, to go into their houses and destroy the Jews. So we see the Ezov again by Pesach. It says in source number 9, Pasuk Chav Beis, L'kachtem Agudas Ezov, that the Jews had to take a bundle of Ezov and they dipped it and they used it almost like a paintbrush of the blood. So there's another reference to Ezov. So there are three places where it says Ezov: Mitzora, by Para Aduma, and over here by Pesach Mitzrayim. So what is the relevance of the Ezov? Look in source number 10, Ezov, Min Yarek Sheish Lo Giv Olin. So it's a type of herb, vegetable that has stalks. Agudas Ezov, Shlosha Klachin, Kriyan Aguda. So they would take a bundle, which is three stalks, and they would dip it, Asher Basaf Bechli, Kemos Sipos Kasef, into this bucket full of blood. Min Adam Asher Basaf, Lama Chazor Shnao, Shlotomar Tasso Shlosh Matanos. You had to do a separate dipping for each time you spread it. You used it like a paintbrush. Lachach Nemar Od Asher Basaf, Ushite Kol Nesino Sino Min Adam Asher Basaf, Al Kol Hagal Tvila. Each time you were to spread the blood, you needed to dip it in separately. And then the last brashi, this part is very strange. It says, V'atem lo seitzu, magid sheme achar she nasna reshus l'mashlis l'chabel, eno mafchem bein tzadik l'rasha. So Rashi says that once the destroyer has permission to destroy, he doesn't distinguish between a tzadik and a rasha. The laila reshus l'machabel mu, and the nighttime has permission for those destructive elements. Shenemar, bo tirmosh kol chayso yar. So Rashi explains that the reason why the Jews weren't allowed to leave is because there was some type of destruction occurring, and the destroyer, whoever that is or whatever that is, would not be able to distinguish between Tzadik and Rasha. So the question is, what does that mean? How do we explain the nature of this Rashi, that there's a destroyer, and the destroyer is not allowed to, can't be Mafchin, being Tzadik and Rasha? How do we understand that? And is there a connection, ultimately, to this Ezov concept? So we'll do one last point in the... and we'll try to get to the main idea. So the last point is the Rakanti in source number 11. He's one of the Rishonim, and he explains that there is two opinions as to why the Jews weren't allowed to leave. But he gives other examples. He says, "V'atem lo seitzu ish mi pesach beiso ad boker, v'arti inyan ze befeirush tevas Noach." So I mention this by the story of Noach. Kevon shenitzon reshus l'mechablam l'chabel eno mafchi mitzadik l'rasha. By Noach, He had to stay inside the teva, because once the mashkis, the destroyer, is allowed to destroy, he doesn't distinguish between tzaddik and rasha. V'zeh sod gadol adayin yisbar b'gzeiras hakel. This is a very deep idea. V'medrash rus bizman sha'ra'av ba'ir lo yira adam atzmo v'lo yalo chichidi ba'ir. Also, when there's a famine in the land, a person shouldn't go out and walk around and be alone. V'fnei shemal chamavis nimtza sham v'yish lo rishus l'chabel, because the angel of death is around, and he has the permission to destroy. V'aldok siv v'yomer Yaakov v'vanav lama tisra'u. And with this, Yaakov said to his sons, Why are you looking around? Why are you being seen when there was a famine? Ki yotzebo bizman shadavar be'ir yaskir adam atzmo v'lo yisra b'shuk. When something's going on in the city, stay inside. Ki kevan shenoshan reshus l'mechabo mishepogebo nizok v'iu mischai b'nafsho. Because when the destroyer is given permission, if you encounter this destructive element, you also will lose your life. So what does that mean? That's one reason why the Jews weren't allowed to leave their homes by Makas Bechoros. And he compares it to the case of Noach and the case of famine by Yaakov. So what is that concept? How do we explain that? And the other is V'harav HaRamban Zal Kasa V'atem Lo Seitzu Hizyar Kasa V'Sisrael Shal Yetzu MiPesach Beisam B'Layla Hu. So the Jews weren't allowed to leave. Why? Lefisha Kadosh Baruch Hu over b'Mitzrayim kemelech she over mimakom mimakom, because Hashem was going through Mitzrayim like a melech. The isbark latron shelo lefanav shel yifka bo adam leistakel bo. He had this entourage in front of him so that nobody would see him. Shneamar uva Hashem elokei kol kedoshim imach v'chein v'samticha b'nekras etzur lehagin alav mipamalia shamala. So the other idea is the Ramban. The Ramban says that the Jews weren't allowed to go out because there is Hashem himself, so to speak, was revealing himself as a melech, and the Jews weren't allowed to go out and see that. And they had to be protected from this sight of Hashem as he was doing this destructive act of Makas Bechoros. So the Rikanti quotes two different opinions, one's Rashi and the other's the Ramban, as to why the Jews weren't allowed to leave. One reason is because of the Mechablim, the destroyers, and the other reason is the Ramban, that Hashem was really going around like a melech, and the Jews had to stay inside because they weren't privy to being able to see Hashem in that way. So what exactly, how do we explain this machlokes between the Ramban and Rashi? And what is the role of the Ezov? And can we tie the Ezov into the Mitzorah, like the Ar Parsha, and also Chukas, the story of the Paraduma? Can we understand the idea of Ezov by the Paraduma as well? So I was thinking of an answer to this question, and I think everything will hopefully come together with this answer. And I found this answer in the Haggadah of the Rishonim. The Ritva is quoted. And look in source number 12. So this pasuk is mentioned many times in Tanakh, or similar type of pasuk. And it says in Yetzias Mitzrayim, Vayishma Elokim es Nakasam, Vayishkor Elokim es Briso, es Avraham, es Yitzchak, ves Yaakov. So Hashem heard the Jewish people's cries, and he remembered the covenant that he had made with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Vayar Elokim es Bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elokim. And Hashem saw what was going on with the Jews, and he understood that it was time to take them out of Mitzrayim. And the Ritva says in source number 13, very important, he says, Vayishma Hashem es kolenu, kemoshe ne'amar, Vayishkor Elokim es briso, ki afal pishes b'schusam lo yu ru'uyim ligal, even though the Jews weren't really appropriate to be redeemed, they weren't ra'uy, they weren't on the level that they deserved to be redeemed, zachar bris ha'avos, Hashem remembered the covenant, the avos, v'zeo sh'nemar b'dam pesach, that's what it says, by dam pesach, v'igatem el mashkof el shtem ezuzos, mashkof ze Avram, the mashkof is the top part of the door, and that's Avram, u'shtem ezuzos elu Yitzchak v'Yaakov, this is Yitzchak and Yaakov. So the Ritva says that whenever Hashem, it says Hashem heard our tefillah, it also says that he remembered the covenant. And why does it always say that in the Torah? To teach us that the Jews themselves weren't really deserving of being taken out. It was because of the Bris Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and his promise. That's why the Jews were taken out. And that's referenced, there's a reference to that in the Dam of the Mashkof, as mentioned in Shemos Perek Yud Beis, in source number 9, that there's a concept being relayed to the Jews. That the Mashkof, the top is Avraham, I guess he's the anchor, and the two sides are Yitzchak and Yaakov. So what is that? What does that mean? That there's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in the Mashkof, and what's the concept here? So I believe that this Ritva is really highlighting the main idea of the Ezov being used, and also the idea, the concept of the Dam, and the Mashkof, and the Mezuzos, which is that when the Jews were being saved in Makas Bechoros, they could have felt like they were deserving of being saved. And they could have felt it would be natural to feel a certain level of worthiness of being saved. We deserve this. And that's why we're being saved. And the idea of the Ezov, which is the concept of lowliness, that the Jews at the time that they were being saved from Makas Bechoros had to recognize that they weren't intrinsically deserving of being saved. And the Ezov, the concept of Ezov, of using Ezov, is always an idea of lowliness. That's supposed to remind the person using it of the idea of lack of ego. And the Jews, at the moment of Makas Bechoros, had to feel a certain sense of anivus. So the Torah is demanding that when the Jews put the dam up on their homes to protect them, they had to feel a certain level of anivus. Not that they were intrinsically deserving of life and the Mitzrayim were intrinsically deserving of death. Even the Jews didn't deserve to be taken out. It's only because of Zechus Avos, of the Bris Avos, that they're taken out. And that's what the Ritva is pointing out, that the Jews at the time of Makas Bechoros had to really think about the idea of Ezov, the concept of recognizing their lack of intrinsic worthiness. And Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the real reason why they were being taken out was not because of themselves, but because of the Bris Avos, of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that was the nature of the mitzvah of the mezuzahs and the mashkof of the dam over there by Pesach Mitzrayim, the nature of that mitzvah wasn't just random, but it was to try to emphasize to the Jewish people the way they were supposed to feel at the time of Makas Bechoros, that they should feel that they weren't intrinsically worthy of being saved and the mitzrayim intrinsically worthy of being destroyed, but rather they should recognize that in a humble fashion that it was because of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that they're being saved. And that's the machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban. Now it makes sense. And what does Rashi mean, Rishus l'mechablim? It means that when you're not intrinsically deserving of being saved, you don't have a right to go outside and look at other people dying. You can't look at other people and watch other people suffer while feeling that. And that's a natural reaction sometimes to feeling, to seeing other people's suffering when you yourself feel saved. And that's the idea of Yaakov and the brothers and Noach, meaning all these situations are situations where it wouldn't be appropriate for them to go outside and to walk outside and see others suffering, because it would just bolster or strengthen this idea that they had that they were intrinsically worthy of being saved. And that idea doesn't exist in the Torah. And we see that by Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe could have been destroyed. A person should never feel like intrinsically worthy of being saved, even if they are being saved by Hashem. And Noach, and the story of Noach was that the idea of not going outside because there's Rishus L'mechablim means that once you go outside, you're really subject to being destroyed, because you're really taking an approach, or you're allowing this idea of seeing or sensing the suffering of others to bolster your sense of intrinsic worthiness. And that in itself is a flaw that could result in your destruction. So that's what the Torah is teaching us over here. And same thing by Noach and by Yaakov, and this general principle that a person shouldn't go out if they're safe and they're feeling secure. You shouldn't go out and watch the suffering of others, because it's inappropriate. It just bolsters or strengthens this feeling that you have that you're intrinsically worthy and everybody else is deserving. When in reality, especially by Pesach Mitzrayim, the Jews weren't intrinsically deserving, and they shouldn't feel that way. It's inappropriate to feel that way. So the same thing is mentioned by Noach, by Yaakov, and that's what it means, Rishus L'mechablim. It doesn't mean that there is some type of magical force. What it means is that when a person goes outside and he watches others dying and others suffering, and he takes almost pleasure in that, so there's a flaw, there's a tremendous flaw in that. This idea of intrinsic worthiness emerges, and that's something that is really antithetical to the nature of man, that a man should never feel. And that ideal, I think, is also, I know this is going back a while, but it's also the idea of Lot's wife. I think that's one of the ideas, that Lot wasn't allowed to turn around and watch Sodom and Amorah being destroyed, because they weren't allowed to feel like they weren't part of the group, that they were now better than the group. So same thing by the Jews. The Jews weren't allowed to see the destruction of the Mitzrayim. They could find out about it, but they couldn't watch it or witness it. And that's the idea of Rashi. The Ramban's saying differently. He's saying that the Jews weren't on the level philosophically to really benefit from this sight, from seeing Hashem and seeing this revelation of Hashem. And that's the idea of anivus. At this moment, they weren't allowed to go outside, and instead they had to be in a state of anivus inside, and because they weren't philosophically rotly, they weren't philosophically on the level where they could really appreciate this revelation of Hashem by Makas Bechoros. So the machlokas is, what exactly were they protected from, or were they not allowed to be a part of? Were they not allowed to enjoy the suffering of others? And because that in itself would be an imperfection, an idea that would bolster a feeling of intrinsic worthiness. And we know that's not the case, like the Ritva says, that they weren't really deserving. And instead, they had to do the opposite. They had to put the dam on and recognize through the Ezov and the dam that it was really Tzchus Avos. Or is it the idea that they recognized their philosophical level wasn't really either ready for them to see the sight of Hashem, and the idea of they weren't ready for revelation, they weren't prepared. Like by Har Sinai, the Jews had to prepare for many days. But over here, they weren't prepared, and they have to recognize through the Ezov and the idea of the Ezov while this was happening that they weren't on the level. They had to be in a state of lowliness because they weren't on the level. They weren't prepared to be able to witness the revelation of Hashem and be affected by it appropriately. So one last point, and then we'll get to the last source. Well, actually, let's do the last source, source number 14. And this idea that of lack of worthiness is also mentioned again by going into Eretz Yisrael. It says in source number 14 in Devarim Perek Test, it says, Al tomar bilvavucha ba'adof Hashem elkecha osa milfanecha lemor, That a person, the Jew, shouldn't feel like it's because of their righteousness that Hashem is destroying all the people of the land of Canaan and bringing them into it. He says it's not because of your righteousness, Jewish people, but it's only because of the rishus, the evil nature of the people in the land, and also because he promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that he would take their descendants. Via data, ki lo b'tzidkascha Hashem elokecha nosin lecha z'arta tova zos l'rishta, ki am k'she orifata, and you should know that it's not because of your righteousness, because you're a hard nation to deal with. Z'chor al tishkach, itz asher k'tzavtas Hashem elokecha b'midbar, l'mina yom asher yatzas emeret b'tzarem ad bo'achem ad ha'makom ha'zem, amrim ha'yisemim ad Hashem. You're constantly rebellious against Hashem throughout the Midbar, throughout the desert. So again, the Torah is highlighting this idea that the Jews should never really feel an intrinsic worthiness, but they should always feel like they should recognize when it's not them, it's coming from an external source. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov was really the source of them getting Eretz Yisrael. So this idea presents itself in Yetzias Mitzrayim as well, and that's the idea of Ezov, the idea of lowliness, that it was appropriate for the Jews to feel this lack of intrinsic worthiness when, or lowliness, I should say, when the Mitzrayim were being destroyed, because in reality that was the truth, that was the fact, that the Jews really weren't intrinsically deserving. It wasn't that the Mitzrayim were evil and the Jews were so much better, but it's because of Zechus Avos that the Jews were saved. And so now the last point is the idea of Parah Aduma. So what does Ezov have to do with Parah Aduma? So I think it fits in, because Parah Aduma is really an idea of Tumas Mace. It's making a person become Tahor after encountering Mace, a dead person. So why do you have to become Tahor? What's the flaw, or what's the problem there? So the problem is that when a person encounters a dead person, a lot of times it could be that a person identifies with the Mace and they feel depressed, but other times a person could feel an intrinsic worthiness, an intrinsic sense of ego. I'm better than that person. I'm alive and they're dead, and that can't happen to me. It's almost like you distance yourself from it, and that's a natural psychological reaction when you see somebody fall and you laugh. It's an idea that, you know, it can't happen to me. You're trying to distance yourself psychologically. So the Torah is saying that when you become Tahor from that process of encountering a dead body, you also have to break down that intrinsic sense of worthiness, that sense that, oh, I deserve to live and he deserved to die. No, you have to break that down. In the Tahara process of becoming Tamei Meis is a breakdown of that idea, of the concept that you're intrinsically worthy of life and the other person's intrinsically worthy of death. And the way to break it down is with the ashes of the Parah Aduma, which includes the Ezov and the Shnita Las, and also the Erez, to try to point out that a person might feel magbia, they might feel gaiva as a result of becoming tamei meis, but in reality, you should feel low. You should not feel an intrinsic sense of worthiness, an intrinsic sense of ego as a result of this, but you should recognize the value of the Ezov and the idea of the Ezov, which is the concept of anivus. So that is the idea. So I wanted to just summarize this year. At this point, so the shir was really on this week's Parshas Metzora, and also Pesach-related Inyan, and the Haggadah, because we included the Haggadah of the Ritva, so we got a lot of different ideas in tonight. But the main concept was the relevance of the Ezov, the hyssop herb in all these processes. There's three processes that it's included in. One was the process of Metzora. The second one was Parah Aduma, in creating the ashes. He threw in the herb. And the last was by Pesach Mitzrayim, that the Jews used the herb and a bundle of the herb of the Ezov to wipe the dam on the mezuzos, the doorposts. So the question is there a relationship between all three? The Ibn Ezra says there is. So the question is, what is that? So we see that the main idea by Mitzorah of Ezov is that it's supposed to teach the Mitzorah the tshuva process, that the Mitzorah's tzaras came about because of his gaiva, because of his ego. And the process of tshuva demands that a person take himself to the opposite extreme and become an anav, become humble. And the Ezov is a recognition of that idea. It's the opposite of the Erez and the Shnita Las as well. So that is the main idea. The main idea is that it's always to teach a person to remove their ego in the situation. So we saw that it also exists by Pesach Mitzrayim. Because by Pesach Mitzrayim, when were they obligated to use the Ezov? By putting up the dam in their homes during Makas Bechoros, so that Hashem would pass over them.
So why were they obligated to do that, and why did they use Azov there? And also, there's another machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban as to why they couldn't leave. So the question is, what's the issue with them leaving? So we saw in the Ritva, the Haggadah of the Ritva, or the Ritva's explanation of the Haggadah, that the Jews really weren't deserving of being taken out. It was because of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the Dam of the Mezuzos and the Mashkof is in order to the Jew that the Jews should recognize that it's not their intrinsic worthiness that is resulted in them being taken out. It's because of Avos, the Zchus Avos. And the Azov fits in very nicely with that concept, because the blood is placed on the wall with the Azov, which is also an idea of lowliness, an idea that the Jews at the time of Makas Bechoros shouldn't feel a sense of superiority over the Mitzrayim. And they have to recognize that it's only by virtue of the Avos that they were saved. Why couldn't they leave? So they couldn't leave because that would bolster or strengthen the sense of superiority. To see others suffering and you being safe would be inappropriate. Or, like the Ramban says, that it was really because they weren't on the level to appreciate the revelation of Hashem. And the last idea is by Parah Aduma, that so too, when a person encounters a dead body, there is a part of a person that identifies and feels depressed and thinks of their own mortality, but there's also another part of a person that also feels a certain sense of ego in the sense that they're still alive and they're worthy of living and the other person's dead. So the Parah Aduma process is supposed to address that emotion, address that idea, that ego that a person perhaps feels when they encounter a dead body. So the Parah Aduma and the purification is supposed to address that, and that's why the Azov, once again, is appropriate for that process. So that's the end of the shiur. So everyone, if you have any questions, feel free to ask. And if not, have a good Shabbos. And thank you. Have a good Shabbos.